Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 733. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'm so excited for our Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift reaction episode. Be great.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about their engagement?
I am super pumped, guys. The most excited I've been. It's the American Royal Wedding, so, or something. That's what I heard. I don't know. Jeff is here.
Hello.
Jeff has big thoughts on Taylor and Travis getting.
Oh yeah, it's consumed. It's consumed my thoughts for days.
So. I feel bad
for all those NFL players because they announced this on cut day, and like all of these transactions are happening, and it's like, oh no,
no one gives a shit.
We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah. Going to talk about a tight end that has like a year or two left in the league.
Right.
And his billionaire girlfriend, who is legitimately the biggest pop star in the world. But
right. I'm sure they're perfectly nice people. I wish them well.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about them all the time and hear about them all the time.
I got to see her this last weekend.
I saw you, well, a facsimile of her.
Yeah. I was surprised, though. So we had our like annual like carnival or whatever here, this last weekend, and on Sunday there was like a Taylor Swift cover band. So I was like, hell yeah, we're going to that. I wasn't like expecting much out of it, but like, you know, I was expecting it to be like okay, and like, you know, she would do the songs fine, but I was not expecting her to like go all out like with the eras and the costume changes, and they did all of that. I was like, holy shit, and like. She kind of, like, at least from a distance, looks like her. So it was like, I fooled myself into believing it.
From back here with a couple beers, yeah, she could be Taylor Swift. Who knows?
Yeah.
And that's hey, good enough for the
$10 show versus who knows how much I'd pay to actually see her. So it was not bad.
Yeah, I got tickets at face value when she came to Philly, and they were $100 a piece. Most people did not. Yeah, but we were in like we were all the way up in the like 200 level of the link, like so, and as far away as you could possibly be.
Chris was actually sitting in New Jersey with binoculars. That's how close he was.
I mean, yeah, we could have been sitting on 95 for what it was worth. Yeah, the kids had a good time though, so all that matters. Anyway, I don't know. I didn't look much up in the way of news. I mean, I check every day, but nothing really jumped out at me. Earl is preoccupied, so we're gonna skip news.
Yes,
something hit you guys.
Video games and, are happening.
Yeah, I mean, I played a bunch. I know Jeff like sampled a bunch, and Tony played Total War. So
I did.
Which one did you play this week?
So I'm still on Total War Warhammer 2.
Okay.
I played for the first half of this week. I played as this woman who has become a demon, and she flies around the battlefield, and I've never had a leader like this in Total War. All you do with her during the battle is just stick her in the middle of the enemy. And she just kills everybody who comes close to her. It's just crazy.
Seems slightly overpowered, but cool.
So as she levels up, she gets this ability where being in melee combat... So you just watch her just like walk through the enemy, just kill them all.
Anything else going on in Total War, Tony?
A big update came out today. So I've actually ended that other campaign. Now I'm playing as the Lizard Men because they updated the Lizard Men and the Tomb Kings.
Nice.
Lizard Men are cool because they're the they're Lizard Men, but they also have like dinosaurs, and like giant monster things. So, but I'm not far enough to get those yet. But I will get there.
That's like up the tech tree though, like eventually.
Yeah. So get it and they are they don't spread quickly. And that's kind of like supposed to be the lizard man thing. They're cold blooded. They do things very slowly.
Yeah.
But once they finally get up that tech tree, their units are very, very powerful. Even their lower level units are like very strong in combat and last a long time. So it's not like as you're going up there, you're like, oh, I'm getting overwhelmed by all these factions with better units. Because your lower level units are basically the same as their mid-tier units.
Right. You got like some hard skin able to take up some damage. So
yeah. They also, cool. their faction, I'm playing as, I think his name is Lord Mazumundi or something like that. He's this giant frog dude who like floats around on this platform and casts spells that like absolutely annihilate everything he comes into contact with. Once he levels up, because like I was fighting the first battle with him where he's level one. And like, so he only starts with one damage doing spell, and it's like this bolt that goes right at the enemy and then explodes. So I fire off this bolt. There's this one tiny tree sticking up in the middle of the battle. It hits the tree and just disperses. I'm like, what the? You're useless. What is this? I move him like a little to the right, and I wait for his cooldown period to end, and I cast a spell again, and he hits a different tree. I'm like, you're supposed to be my most powerful unit, and all you can do is hit trees with your spells.
It's like if you were fighting trees.
Yes. Yes.
You'd be on track, but like, are you able to aim where, or just like you attack now and he like that unit like fires off somewhere.
So for that particular spell, you pick a unit and the bolt goes at that unit.
Mm-hmm.
Once you level that spell up, I've noticed that it goes right through the trees. And then the explosion on the other side is quite deadly. But level one, like that little 3 foot wide tree, too much for the spell.
It's taking it out. That's amusing. Also, I could see how that's frustrating. Like, I don't have line of sight on the enemy because my stupid spell can't go around a tree.
And it's annoying because the first battle of the game is supposed to be like the intro battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to go well.
Yeah.
Because that was happening, it was not going well.
Yeah, they normally want you to feel powerful, and then they like fuck you over.
Yeah, because I don't know why they set you up against this faction Slaanesh, which are the seducers of the world. So like they're all like their units are all like shirtless dudes and like people who say very provocative things while the battle's going on. It's pretty funny. One of the things that they do at the beginning of the battle, though, is they seduce one of your units to their side. So, like, you see their army all arrayed, and then there's one, like, one of my javelin-throwing units is just sitting up there waiting for me. Like, I have to kill you too. Kill my own guys.
That's funny. Anything else besides Total War, Tony?
No, just so much Total War.
That's okay. Lots of Total War is fine.
I'm waiting for NBA 2K, which unlocks at midnight.
Okay.
Because I did get the super, not the 150 super, version,
but like but the deluxe edition.
Version. Yeah. Yeah. So I get the week of early access and all the bonus VC and all that stuff.
Yeah, they give you so you can like set your player up, right? Like,
yeah. So instead of starting at level 60, he'll be like 75 or 80 or whatever.
That's good. Jeff, you've played a lot here. Yeah. I mean, a bunch of different stuff, but I completely forgot that I saw you had played Retro Realms Halloween.
Yeah. I even bought that shit.
Thoughts?
I've only played so like 1-1, 1-2, and 2-1. Mm-hmm. And I stopped at 2-2. It's about what I expected, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's... I really wish, like, I had just waited till, like, it actually went on sale, but it just doesn't seem like it was ever going to do so. So, whatever. It's... I don't know, dude. Did you play through that whole thing?
I did. I played through that one and what's the other one? Evil Dead? Or Army of Darkness, whatever the other one they have. I played through both. I mean, they're side-scrolling action games.
Yeah, but like, just
the Halloween one makes like zero sense because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like you're not Michael like killing like people. Like you're Michael like escaping from the insane asylum, killing crazed people, and then you're like out on the street or something, like killing monsters and stuff. Like it's weird.
Do you remember you have an overlord?
Yes, yes.
There's like a demon that is like directing Michael Myers on what to do. Just like, okay, I don't remember that in any of the movies. Not even that wasn't even in part six. What are you talking about?
There's some funny stuff if you keep playing through it, like. I don't think it's too difficult.
I was getting annoyed in. I'm in level two. It's Phelps Garage, and it's a bunch of like conveyor belt type things.
Yeah.
And the thing that's annoying is that there is somewhat some checkpointing, but like the stretches are too long. Like the levels are kind of too long, and they don't put enough checkpoints in there. So it's like you can go for minutes. And then get set back minutes, and after that happened to me a few times in 2-2, I was just like, I'll come back to this maybe closer to Halloween. I don't know.
There's a boss fight where you fight Laurie and Dr. Loomis. That's just absurd. I think it's the third. I think it's the third level. It's like 3-3-2 or 3-3 or whatever. It's so stupid. It's like in a. Like this is a classic type video game, and yeah, if you were going to make a Halloween like Nintendo Entertainment System game, this is probably what it would be, or a Super Nintendo Halloween game, it would be that. It makes no sense why you would be fighting Dr. Loomis, who's tossing grenades at you. but I think the Evil Dead game honestly works a little bit better than the Halloween one, but for the novelty of playing a platformer as Michael Myers, I found it fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I got it. But yeah, I wasn't expecting much, and I pretty much got what I expected. But we'll see if I ever finish it.
I do hope they, because like the concept is like they're gonna like fill out this arcade. So it's like and currently they only have the two games. I do hope they add more. Like do like, hey, give me like a stupid Hellraiser 2D game. Give me a Texas Chainsaw 2D game. Like they're dumb, but I would definitely play them. They're not worth what is it, $25 or something like that?
I think it was 20 for me, but I think that you're right that when it came out it was 25. I think they just permanently changed the price to 20.
Yeah, even 20. I agree.
It's a bit much.
20 is still a lot for what that is.
Yeah,
10 is probably better, and 5 is probably the perfect price. But
exactly, fuck, I'll fill out the whole arcade if you give me a bunch of $5 ones. That's fine.
Exactly. So. Yep. So you played that. I guess keeping with the movie theme, you also you played The Thing. The remaster of The Thing.
Yes.
Okay. So I've not played this ever, and I know you didn't play a lot of it.
Yeah, I think I got to like the third level. It's a remake of an old PS2 game, like an early PS2 game, and you know, even at the time, was not like, you know, it wasn't like a huge hit. It's kind of a random, you know, random choice for a remaster, but this studio, Night Dive Studios, is like known for picking out these kind of like obscure games and doing really like solid work on remastering them. I can't really speak to that too much because like I never played it back in the day, but like playing it now, it it feels very, very old. It feels ancient. Like, it is just, like, I think I said to you, Chris, that, like, you know, having lived through that era, I kind of remember games being like this.
Yeah.
You forget, though, because, like, you go back and go, wow, like, games are, like, really advanced from this time. I couldn't imagine a younger player, like, being able to play this and having any sort of fun. It just feels way, way too dated. Yeah, and the thing is, like, they supposedly did a good job, but I still find it, like, I don't know if this was in the game originally or if it's them, but it's, like, every time you learn a new thing early on, like, it is literally, like, paragraphs of text telling you how to do something. It's just, like, you know, and, like, none of the, like, the controls and stuff are not, like, super intuitive. Again, because they, like, overcomplicate it, like, telling you how to do things. There's, like, no map. You don't, like, you have an objective, but you don't really, like, there's no marker or anything telling you where to go. You know, it could be, like, you know, you find a locked door very early on, and it's, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, text upon, like, paragraphs of shit telling you about how, like, you have to find a fucking key. And it's, like, we'll give you a hint for this one. The key is underground. It's like, okay, I'm in a giant fucking, like, Antarctica with, like, nothing, like, but, like, this building and a fucking bunch of snow and darkness. And so, like, I could just wander off in literally any direction and get lost. You know what I mean? It's just like, what the fuck? And, like, and I think it was, like, the third level. They're like, you need to get into this place. I walked all around the building. Sometimes I walked to another building. I could not figure out how to get in. One of my squad mates, he kept getting too scared. And, like, you could supposedly, like, calm him down somehow. But, like, I was like, I don't know. You want bullets? Like, what do you want me to do to calm? Like, I didn't know how to calm down. And every time he would get so upset that his head would explode and he'd just be dead. And I'm like, all right, I'm down a squad mate. I guess I should explain what this is, kind of, because, like, you kind of expect it to be just, like, a Resident Evil clone, which it's not really. It's, like, a third-person squad-based shooter, but then, like, it has, like, survival horror elements of, like, limited, you know, limited ammo, limited health, limited, like, or you having to find keys to get into shit. So, like, it has, like, elements of both, but it's, like, you do have to learn all these, like, squad mechanics, which, again, after a few times getting stuck in the third level, I couldn't figure out what to do. I was like, this is not, like, good enough for me to, like, get over the hump. I was close. I was figuring things out, but I'm just like, dude, I have a million other things I could be playing, and this just feels old as shit. I mean, it's you know, it's not a terrible game. Like, you tell it's, like, you know, it was a decent game, but it's just, like, certain games from that era just do not really age well. I would say this is not. And,
yeah, it's like a third person shooter with squad mechanics. And yeah, like, we've come so far from, like, pre Gears of War third person shooters.
I was going to say, this is pre Gears of War. You know, this was, like, at the time when this came out, like, yeah, there were, like, great games that still hold up to this day, but, like, a lot of, like, these years, I think this came out in 2002 or something, it was, like, they were still kind of figuring out 3D games, you know what I mean? Like, and you could feel that here. But, you know, if you're a huge The Thing fan, it is neat that they redid this and apparently put some effort into it. And if you look up like a video of it on YouTube, you'll see all these comments from people who were kids when it came out and like, oh my God, this was my first, you know, horror game. I love this game so much. So like, it does have like a cult following, but it seems to be mostly people that were new to video games, that like were kids at the time that this came out, which I was not. And again, I don't have the nostalgia of having played it back in the day. So We should keep doing stuff like this, though. Give us the suffering. Give us the suffering one and two.
Yeah, Night Dive is pretty good at that. They've done some weird shit.
I just think to completely fix this, it would have to be a complete redo. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like a complete remake, and they probably did what they could while respecting what it is. You know.
Yep. Yeah, it's listed as just a remaster, so they literally probably just cleaned it up a bit and made the controls work better.
I don't know. It's still a little clunky in that regard. Of just when on screen instructions show up in games nowadays, they're usually a sentence long. Like, they get the idea, and this is just I'm not trying to read a book here. What is this? It's they're overcomplicating shit. It's just you could just feel it was video games still figuring out how to be that type of game.
But it's funny that you would get paragraphs for them to be like,
I'm serious.
You have to find a key.
Yeah.
And it's underground. Literally. You're like, no shit. The door's locked. Could have figured that literally out.
Could have just said door locked. And I would have been like, okay, I probably need a key. Yeah.
Yeah. It is funny that that was still stuff they were figuring out then, that they could just, hey, we could lock a door and you push up against it. And if it jingles, like it doesn't open, you got to go find a key for it. If it doesn't do anything, that's not a door you can use.
Yeah.
I guess jumping off of that, because we did mention Gears, for the third time, Gears of War has released. Gears of War Reloaded came out this week.
Has it only been three times?
So the original in 2006, and they remastered it in 2015. And now this is a remaster of the remaster? No. So the 2015 one was a full Unreal Engine 4 remake. So this is a remaster of the remake.
Yeah, this is a remaster of the one you just played. I mean, I guess it was 10 years ago. It doesn't feel that long ago. It feels like I remember playing a remade Gears of War.
Yep. And this is that.
But that's why I was like, do I really want to play? I'm not the biggest Gears of War fan, but I was it's on Game Pass. But I was just like, I've played this game. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think I'm good.
You have played this game. I will. There's some weird stuff I noticed playing at this time that I don't remember from the original, and I don't remember from the remake 10 years ago.
Dom is now voiced by Travis Kelce.
I mean, that's a weird thing. Yes. The first level, the first act, you have you're not in charge. Marcus is a private. You're following this Lieutenant Kim. He's the guy who's in charge, and he has to unlock these doors for you. Well, in the original and in the remake, he would hit his mark. He'd go up. He'd unlock the door. You'd walk through. Now he's just wandering around, sometimes stuck behind a bookcase, can't figure out how to turn the corner. It's I'm waiting for him to do it. It's some of the AI is fucked up in this remaster. It's
the previous ones.
Yeah, it's this did not play like this before. I've never seen weird pathfinding from your characters before. That's the only difference. It plays pretty much exactly yours. No, it's not great.
Difference.
No, it's kind of terrible. It's what are we doing? Now he's dead, so I unlock everything as I'm going through. But in the early going where you're waiting for him to open doors and he's just I don't know how to get out from behind this bookcase, guys. I'm just walking in a circle. So at one point I was there, he's like, pick up these guns. So I go pick up the Hammer of Dawn. And then I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go. And when you do it in the original game and in the remake, when you pick up the Hammer of Dawn, he walks over to the door and opens it. Well, this time, like, I didn't even see him. I didn't know where he was. So, like, you're in, like, this library, so I just start walking around, and Coltrane is off on the corner, so I, like, go over by him, and I just see Kim walking around in a circle. Like, you can't figure out how to get over to the door. I'm like, Jesus Christ. But, otherwise, that game's still fun. Like, the shooting, and it was great then. It still works real well now. I don't think anybody has done the active reload quite as good as they did.
Yeah,
like that's still really fun. But yeah, if you're like I like Gears, but I don't love Gears, like you could probably skip this one. It is now on PlayStation, I guess. So if people want to play it there.
It's on Sony loyal who've never played Gears of War.
Yeah. And this is maybe not like because I mean it's almost a 20-year-old game at this point. Like, it's not the best iteration of Gears to like bring to the forefront. And then with this weird pathfinding, people are gonna be like, this is what people really liked on Xbox 20 years ago. Like,
there's something wrong with Xbox.
I guarantee you it holds up better than the thing.
I'm sure it does. The other thing about it, though, is I think it's going to be weird. It's like Gears 1 did not have Horde mode. This does not have Horde mode either. So all there is the competitive multiplayer, which is not friendly to newcomers. Like, it's the people that play Gears multiplayer, like, they know how to play real well.
I've never been able to. I'm not good at multiplayer shooters in general. We've established this, but like Gears, I've just never been able to figure it out. Like,
yeah, like the people that are good at it, they're like bouncing off the walls. Like they've figured out a way to kind of like make your character move faster than any normal player can do it. Like they're manipulating the wall. Like they move from cover. Like, it's called the wall bounce. They're manipulating that to make you move faster. They own like exclusively use the Nasher shotgun. So like you're either one shot dead or very quickly two shots. So yeah, like it's not friendly to newcomers, and I'm not sure that that's gonna put a big happy bow on it for PlayStation players coming into it for the first time. If it had Horde mode, like that's just fun for it's player versus environment. You're working as a team. It feels way better. That's what I like to play, you know, in multiplayer for Gears, but it's not here. This is a weird release to go with.
What do you think is the best Gears game? Because you said like, hey, this is not, you know, the best representative of the series.
Probably Gears 3.
Ha! Really? That's what I would have said. Yes.
Really?
It has the longest campaign, and it was a 4-player campaign. Horde mode was like more fleshed out than it was in 2. It also had beast mode where that was a player versus player thing, but you could like become like the weird horde. Like the weird centipede thing.
I remember that. I do remember it.
Like that was like a neat thing to play. I think Gears 3 just was like kind of the total package. And it's a shame we haven't got a remaster of 2 or 3 at this point.
That's going to be my next question. Like, why do they keep doing the first one over and over?
Yeah. Like, I mean, come on now. Give us Gears 2. Or give us like that rumored Marcus Fenix collection that they've been talking about for years. Give us all the games in like one package, kind of like Master Chief Collection. But anyway, that's Gears Reloaded. It's on Game Pass, and if you've never played Gears, I guess that one's there for you if you want. You can play other Gears games though. you could play ones that don't have weird fucked up pathfinding too, because like the original 360 Gears is also on Game Pass, so you could just play that one.
Play that.
Yeah. All right, let's stick with the it's not really a shooter, but Jeff, you right here, you played Resident Evil Revelations 2. So that's a random one.
Yeah. All right. So
did you lose a bet? What happened?
No. What it is, I mean, I love Resident Evil, but like I was just playing the Silent Hill 2 remake because I wanted something to play on PlayStation 5. And when I got done with that, like, I was just like, I'm just in the mood for that shit right now, you know? And one of the ones that I own on this, I wanted to see how some of these run on Switch 2. And I looked at what I own, and I think I only have, like, Resident Evil and Resident Evil 2 on the Switch.
Like the remake of...
Yeah. Like the 2015, whatever, yeah, around there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I've played the remake a million times since the GameCube. It's my favorite one. It's it's still my favorite one. But I was like, oh, you know what? Let's give Revelations 2 a chance. I don't really remember this. I remember I liked it, and I want to see, you know, like how does it, you know, look and stuff on Switch 2. And Chris, you've played this game, right?
I did, yeah. It was episodic when it first came out.
Okay. So you remember way more than me. Yep. Just off that alone, because that was going to be the bomb I dropped on you. But I guess you remember that. I did not. So I'm playing it, and it does, you know, it's like basically 1-1-1-2. You play as Claire through a level. You play through that same level as Barry.
Yep.
And I'll get to the end of that. And it's like, next on Resident Evil Revelations 2. Like, it literally does, like, you're watching a TV show. And then when you start the next episode, it's like, previously on. So I was like, I'm Googling, was this released episodically? Yep, sure enough, it was.
Yeah, and it was done the right way, too. Like, all the episodes were done. They released them, like, one. It was, like, either one a week or one every other week. So, like, you weren't waiting. But, like, the TV-style presentation of, like, next time on Resident Evil, or, like, last time on Resident Evil. Yeah, it's, like, it was a neat, like, touch, but it probably doesn't work if you're playing it now.
10 years later, yeah. All together as one package. It's a weird game, dude. Like, I don't know if you remember much else besides that, but, like, it's, like, a fake Resident Evil. Like, again, I remember liking it, and I'm not hating it. But it's just, like, it's so fucking weird. First off, it seems like it was designed for co-op, because, like, you always have someone with you, and you're swapping between them, kind of like in Resident Evil 0.
Yeah.
So, like, it seems, like, clearly designed this was meant to be two players, and I'm just playing it by myself. There's no map, which is, like... I don't know, man. That's like Resident. Like, if you don't have a map, you're not Resident Evil to me. Like, what's
kind
fuck?
Of a it's kind of a staple of it. Like
I think I found a map at some point, and I was like, oh hell yeah! And it does give you like a mini map up in the corner, and I'm pressing every button trying to figure out how to open the map. Go to Google. There is no fucking map. Like that's it. That you find a map, it's the mini map, which you can't tell shit looking at that. I'm trying to think what else is like weird about it. There's a few, like there's things that are just like, what the fuck is this? Like this just doesn't feel true to the series,
or even Revelations 1, which was like Revelations 1 was very disjointed. Like you would play a little bit on the boat, and then there'd be flashbacks to doing like other stuff, or you play with the people that were like in Antarctica, but. And it was very much like, you know, kind of TV presentation style, mm-hmm. but that one at least felt like a Resident Evil.
Yeah.
I thought it was more like they added more mercenaries mode to it than anything else. Like it was more action heavy. I remember.
It feels like a cross between like traditional Resident Evil and mercenaries mode, which is like a weird mix. It's not like terrible or anything. Like I'm enjoying it. Oh, I guess the other weird thing that you kind of touched on it is, like, to me, a Resident Evil is, like, one map. Like, it, yeah, there are areas that you could consider levels, right? But, like, they touch to the, like, they connect to the other area, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is just, like, levels. They're big levels, and they're long, and they take a while to get through. Oh, that's another thing. Another thing. No save points. It's all checkpointing, like, automatic checkpointing, so it's, like, the things that you, like, expect out of a Resident Evil game or survival horror, map, interconnected, like, you know, giant map,
the save point is almost like a
resource management thing. Like, you know what I mean? It's, like, part of the genre. And this is just kind of, like, tosses all that aside to do, like, a kind of action-y per game. It's not terrible, but I find the levels to take a long time to get through, and by the end, I'm feeling, like, pretty annoyed, and I've been walking around with the screen red half the time because I ran out of fucking healths and whatnot. But, you know, I don't know if... I don't know if you've ever revisited it or you ever will, but it's, again, it's okay. It's like if you already own it. Also, all the Resident Evil games are always like $6, so it's whatever.
They are perpetually on sale.
Yeah. I actually went onto the eShop because I saw a bunch of them on sale the other day, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to play something else. And they're not currently on sale on the eShop, but I'm sure next week they'll be $6 again. Like, it's just always. It's like, it kind of sucks too, because like on Xbox, I basically own all of them. There's nothing left for me to fucking buy. I just see them all the time. I'm like, yeah, that's good. It's a good deal. If you don't already have that.
Well, now you're playing more on your Switch too, so you can rebuy them for.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm going to do. But what I did also today, and I've not played it yet or anything, like, you know, I've said, I played it a million times. I was like, I'm loading up that game card for regular Resident Evil. I could play that game over and over. So, like, I think when I'm done with Revelations 2, I'll do the original remake.
You need a palate cleanser.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll just stick right with that. You mentioned Silent Hill 2.
Mm-hmm.
Did you finish Silent Hill 2?
I did, yeah. I like, over the last week, I'm telling you all these games I've played, and, like, the hugest chunk of my time was spent playing Silent Hill 2 and Thousand Year Door. So, yeah, I did wrap up Silent Hill 2 on PS5, and... Hey, it got me in the mood to play more of these types of games, but I think I said this last week or whatever, it's like, if I had to choose between that and pretty much any Resident Evil, I would choose any Resident Evil over it at this point. Fair. There are things I don't like about Silent Hill 2, and it was a game that blew me away. It blew me away back when I played it originally. So, like, I don't know if the camera change was detrimental here or other changes they made were detrimental, or it's just, like, my tastes have just kind of zeroed in on Resident Evil more. But... One, I think the most annoying thing about this game is that it might look good. I don't know, because it's fucking so dark all the fucking time. It's like they think that's scary that I can't see anything, but it just really, really annoyed me. Like, I don't know, you know, you played this last year, right, Chris, when it came out. Like, did that bother you at all, or did you notice that? Like, literally, you're in the dark for, like, 90% of the game, and you can't see shit. Even when you're outside, you can't see shit. Because all the fucking fog.
So I agree with you 100%. I think most games are too dark. And I'm always turning up the brightness.
I should have messed with it. Like,
I always, like, it's like they give you that. Lots of games, not every game, but lots of games give you that, like, little, like, here's three images. Make the...
Yes, make this the, has that too.
Yeah, and I'm like, they're like, make the one on the left. Yeah, they're like, make the one on the left, like, so that you can't see anything. And I'm like, no, I'm going the opposite way. Like, I want to be able to see that image. And
yes.
For me, for how I play, like, I want to see the detail on stuff. And sure, maybe it doesn't make it as scary. I don't really find Silent Hill 2 all that scary anyway. And I can see the artwork that they did in the level. Like, you know, it's still dark, but I can see furniture and stuff in there.
I just think that, again, I know some of this are like hangovers from like when the game was originally released, and they would do things to mask the limitations of the hardware, like the fog and stuff like that,
yep,
right?
Yep.
But there's no excuse for that anymore. And I think the notion that because it's dark, it's scarier, I just don't agree with. And you look at a game like Resident Evil, like the original Resident Evil, the remake, that game is 20 years old, and you still go back and play the GameCube one, and it looks fucking phenomenal. And you are pretty tense through a lot of that game, and you could see everything. It's a beautiful looking game.
Yeah.
And here it's like, I can't fucking see anything. So again, there's like, I'm talking like hours at a time where you're just like, I see a little cone of light from my weak ass flashlight. And I guess it's supposed to be scary, but it like really just like brings it down a little bit for me.
I can see that.
The other thing, like, I don't know, again, this might be a remake thing or not, but I found, like, there'd be long stretches with no enemies, which is totally fine by me. But then there'd be short sections with, like, really high concentration of enemies. And I don't like that.
Yeah, the combat in Silent Hill 2 is not what you're there for. Like, it's not particularly good. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you on that too. I don't think it was in the original. I remember that was kind of the thing was, yeah, I think they dialed it up the combat encounters. And it's like part of what did make the original Silent Hill 2 tense was you never knew when you were going to get attacked. Like you might hear it on the radio, like, oh, there's an enemy nearby. But in this one, it's like, if there's an enemy nearby, there's probably six more nearby.
That's the thing. So, like, that's not how I like my survival horror. I prefer it where, like, as little as possible. Like, so that when, like, you get lulled into, like, forgetting it, that there's danger. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, it's like, someone busts out of a fucking wardrobe at you. Like, Resident Evil's so good at this. And, yeah, like, this remake, and I do have to feel this is the remake, because I couldn't imagine the old style Resident or Silent Hill 2 having like you said, like six enemies in a really small area. It just drains your resources and it just sucks. Like again, yeah. they're not fun to fight. So, but not to like shit on the game. Like I overall like don't regret buying it, even though I paid full price and. Didn't regret like playing through it again, and it got me in the mood for more, you know, survival horror. But yeah, it's just for me, it'll always be Resident Evil, as goofy as it is, over Silent Hill 2 or any Silent Hill, despite the fact that Silent Hill is like thematically more like, I guess, interesting or you know, sure. Serious. Yeah,
yeah. Resident Evil is just like kind of like a horror roller coaster. Silent Hill tries to tell a more, like, you know, horror story, I guess.
Like, 2 is a very, like, if you're looking at it, like, you know, narratively, I'd say it's important to the history of video games. Like, I think that, you know, they're attempting something there that's much more mature than you'd expect at the time. You know what I mean? Sure. So,
yep.
But again, it's like, I already know all that shit, so it's like, none of that's going to surprise me this time, and... But yeah, it got me in the mood to play more. It actually made me want to go watch the Silent Hill movie, which is fucking streaming nowhere, dude.
No, really?
Like you could pay for it, but like it's not like, you know, I'm subscribed to a million things. I figured it'd be on something, right? Like it's just not.
Oh, and that's probably. I wonder. Do you know what year that came out? I'm just like dreading.
2005.
Oh, so we got a little bit of time. Like Earl's gonna give that to us any month now.
And did you guys know that they're doing
a new one? Yeah, Christopher Gans. Yep.
He's only done like that and like nothing else.
yeah, I mean he's done some stuff, but nothing like he did Silent Hill in 2016 and then some weird French film, I think. And yeah, he hasn't done anything in 20 years.
What's Silent Hill 2016?
No, in 2006 he did Silent Hill. Yeah, and then in 2014 he did some like some French Beauty and the Beast film, I think. Yeah, he hasn't done anything since like commercially since 2006
was which is crazy. Like I've seen that movie and I remember it being like for a video game movie pretty well done.
Yep.
He had some style, so I was like, who is this guy? Where did he go? What's he doing? And I'm like, now over 20 years later, he's doing Silent Hill 2. Like, what the fuck? Okay, whatever.
And they've released a trailer for Return to Silent Hill this week.
Really?
People were shitting on it. I don't know. It's like 50 seconds long. I don't think they show enough in there to shit on it or not. So, but Silent Hill fans are also batshit insane. So they're going to be super critical of everything. Not that there's ever been like a really phenomenal Silent Hill movie.
I mean, that first one, I thought at the time, it was a cut above what you'd expect out of video game movies at the time. So I don't know.
Yeah, I remember liking it. Sean Bean's in it, right? I think.
I thought the main girl was Naomi Watts, and it is not Naomi Watts. It's someone I've never heard of. So I don't know. Yeah, Sean Bean.
Yeah, he plays the dad, I think. Let's see. I played a game that you guys played last week, The Rogue Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
Evidently, that game's free on everything because it's on Game Pass. It's also on PlayStation Plus.
Which they want to make $0 from this game.
I guess, yeah. And it's an Ubisoft game, so they'll complain about how it didn't sell at all, I'm sure. And they'll probably... I'm not even joking. They probably will just lay off the entire team. It's tragic. Yeah, I didn't realize... So I know you guys had said it was a roguelike or roguelite. I knew it was side-scrolling, but I didn't realize that it's basically Dead Cells. Like, the way it's structured is very Dead Cells-y. Like, you'll go through a level, and then you'll kind of reach the end of that, and they'll give you two choices on, like, where to go next. And depending upon where you go, like, you'll get that different map there. And then both... like regardless of which one you choose, the one after that will lead to like that first boss. So it's kind of exactly designed like Dead Cells.
Yeah. In fact, well, one, I've not played Dead Cells in years now.
And
I don't know if I got far enough in Rogue Prince of Persia to even be introduced to that. Like,
okay.
I played very little of it. I liked what I played.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. Like, and it has like the same kind of upgrade mechanic that Dead Cells does. Like you're gonna, you'll get these weird cells. In fact, that you use as currency for this one guy, and that will give you like buffs. The difference between this and Dead Cells is that there's actually a skill tree. So as you're killing things, you're gaining experience. And when you gain a level in experience, you can then go back and at this like little shrine in your base area, you can upgrade your skills there. So like,
does that carry over, or
yep,
is that
they're permanent? So like, it's like a plus 30 health, plus 20 energy.
Interesting.
And the cool thing that I found from it is that you'll add people you'll find people out in the different levels, and you'll tell them to go to your base. And once they're in your base, then it unlocks another skill tree that's associated with them. So there's all sorts of like different skills that you can add on and different buffs and permanent upgrades. Outside of that though, I'm terrible at it. Like I can get to the first area boss and that's it. I've died at him about six times now.
Okay.
I got him down to a third of health the one time. That's the best I've done at this point. So tough game. I do like it. We'll see how far I get, because you know, just like in Dead Cells, like you eventually want to finish a run. Like, and if you can't like advance enough into it, then you will lose interest in these kind of like roguelike
type games. Yeah, I do after a while. Like, yeah. Did you ever finish a run in Dead Cells?
I did finish a run in Dead Cells. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow. Like, I made it far, but
so I did start this game,
mm-hmm.
Prince of Persia. I played for like 30 minutes. I was like, oh, this is not for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I played for 30 minutes. I said, that seems cool. Like, I do love that the wall running in 2D. I think that's really...
It's weird. It feels weird. I don't love it. That it's just the angles are weird, and it's... I don't really get
when you can do it on any flat surface. It's, yeah. Like you can just run. You can wall run straight up too. Like yeah. As long as there's a flat surface, you can do it. It does feel a little up, but it is neat. I do agree with you, Jeff. Like it's neat that they incorporated something that is a part of Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
Into it. It doesn't feel perfect. I think I probably side with Tony on that, but I did like it. It's neat. So not for you though, Tony.
No. I don't think either of you are surprised by that.
No. I don't know how much I'll play of it, because like I feel it's one of those things, like if I'm not making enough progress, I will eventually, like, because you're just running the same couple levels over and over again, even if they're randomly generated. If you're not making progress, you're not gonna stick with it. But neat idea. Real quick, because the demo of this is also real quick. There's a demo for Lumines Arise, which is the new Lumines game that's coming out from the Tetris Effect people. You can play the, I don't know, what are they called? The Journey mode, the first three levels of Journey mode.
Which is like the main mode in Tetris Effect too.
Yeah. Right? You'll get, it's like a clump of levels together. And like each stage in has like different music. And once you finish that, it'll like the background will change. The block images will change. The music will change. It's exactly like Tetris Effect, except
yeah, and then you get to the end of like three of them, and then it'll give you like a score on how you did. Yeah, exactly.
They do some like interesting things with the Lumines blocks. Like the first level I played, it was like these weird blobby circles and squares that make up the cube that drops, and when the circles join in four, it makes a bigger circle, and you can keep them going. And if you get it up to, I think like 8 or 10, then a number shows like how big the circle is. It's just goofy looking. It's not any different than Lumines. It's just instead of like the blocks connecting, you're creating this weird round thing that's taking up the same area. So they're going to play with kind of like what the blocks are and what the shapes you're combining are, but it still comes down to you need to put four of the same shape together, and then when the line goes across, it'll clear it.
Yeah.
I assume that Journey mode will probably also have difficulty levels, so they'll be like, you know, normal mode will be like the normal speed. But you can also put it on like an easy mode, probably, which will lower the speed, or a hard mode, which like ramps it up by two. It's neat. I think I'm probably going to get it when it comes out in November. I'm kind of hoping it's not $50 though, because that that might be a bit much, but it seems neat. The demo's out there on PS5 and PC. So, Jeff, which Nintendo game you want to talk about? Kirby or The Thousand Year Door?
Well, there's not too much to say about Kirby, and I've only played a little bit of it, but we don't have to dwell on either of these. I guess, you know, The Thousand Year Door.
That's the remake. You're playing the
remake. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You know, speaking of, we've talked a lot about games from the early 2000s. Here's one that I think stands up perfectly. Like, this is a full remake, but I could imagine they could have just thrown this on Nintendo Switch Online. It would still be pretty enjoyable. Looks great. I mean, it's very simplistic RPG with a lot of fucking talking. Time wasting and padding. Like, every time you finish a major chapter, you do these interludes where you play as Princess Peach, and then you play as Bowser, and I'm just like, I want to get back to Mario?
The main quest, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's very enjoyable. Like, again, it holds up. Yeah, I don't know what to say. Like, again, it's very basic in a lot of ways. I guess the other thing I'd say is, like, people hold this up as the best one, and they're probably right. But, like, I don't know. Like, I thought Origami King was good. That's, like, the most recent one, the one that was on Switch. And it, like, at least adds something to this combat that, you know, is very basic. So, like, you know, it added something to it. I mean, people are probably right. This is probably still the best one, but it's like, that's kind of messed up. They never approved upon The Thousand Year Door. Like, it's, yeah, it's still a good game, but yeah.
Does the combat in the other Paper Mario games, is it always the same? Or wasn't there one with like a weird color wheel type thing? Or
yes, there's they fuck it up over and over and over. I just think that like Origami King, like they all have like the core of like, you could jump as Mario and then, like, you know, press A right before you hit. And, you know, they all kind of have that, except
right.
What was it? I think Super Paper Mario was just like a 2D platformer for some reason.
The Wii one. And that's right.
Good, though. Like, I also like that one. Like,
yeah, but that was a neat one. A neat idea for it. But yeah, I was not expecting a 2D platformer when I picked that up. That was.
Anyways, that's that. And Kirby, I've only played a little bit of it, and it's basically just the Kirby game from a few years ago, but with 12 levels. They're like sprinkled throughout the campaign, so as you're going through a world, like, you'll see like the new levels pop up, so that's cool. That's basically it. It's just a reminder that the game is, you know, really great, and here's a few, you know, I got 12 more levels sprinkled in.
But best looking game of 2022.
Game of 2022.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing is, like, it, you know, it is upgraded for Switch 2, but I think that Kirby already looked fine. Like, it ran fine. So, like, it looks good, but, like, I'm not seeing. Because, like, I did try out, like, Tears of the Kingdom. And you could, like, when you see that, you're like, yeah, this is probably better looking than it looked a year or two ago. But with this, it's just like, I don't know. It looks fine, but I always thought it looked fine, so I don't know.
Okay. I'm interested to hear what those new levels are.
I played, like, one of them. Yeah, okay. But, you know, I don't know. It's more Kirby.
How much is that DLC?
$20.
That's not bad, I guess.
Yeah, it's an excuse to play through the game again, and you have these new levels and improved, supposedly, visuals. So,
have you guys heard of a game called Sword of the Sea?
Isn't that game about to leave Game Pass?
I don't think so. No, it's not on. It's not on Xbox yet. It just came out last.
Oh, it's Sea of Stars. That's what I'm mixing it up with.
Sea of Stars, which is a good. JRPG. I don't think it's a you game, Tony, but that is a good game that if you enjoy that type of game, you should go try. Sword of the Sea is on PlayStation 5 and Windows. It is the new Giant Squid game, which you guys might know as the people who did Abzu. That was on Game Pass. Or The Pathless, which I don't know if that ever came to Xbox or not. But the big thing behind it is the art director of Giant Squid is the guy who did Flower and Journey years ago. Journey, the little the guy, and like he has the big scarf thing, and you run around in the desert there. Anyway, kind of has that like look to it, it's a snowboarding game without snow, I guess. Like you have this sword that you skate.
Snowboarding. On. That's what that is.
Snowboarding. Well, but there's a board. It's not a board. It's a sword. But there's no snow, and it's a lot of it's on sand. And what you're doing is traversing this area, very much like Journey, but more detailed, I think. And you're kind of figuring out puzzles and trying to figure out how to get to certain locations to crack the water open, and once the water flows down, then the entire environment changes. And it's kind of neat on that side. There's this weird Tony Hawk trick system that they have in it, though. I'm not sure what it's for other than these challenge areas where it's basically you have a 2-minute timer and it's like reach a certain score. Otherwise, there's no score in this game. It's just kind of like a faster paced journey with a bigger environment. I think it looks really neat. I rode a dolphin around in one level. That was cool. It's a neat like exploration adventure game. It's on PlayStation Plus right now, so. I had heard a bunch of people kind of talking about it, and I wasn't going to go out and buy it, but when I saw Prince of Persia on PlayStation Plus, it was right next to it, so I installed it, and I've been playing that. It's fun. It's a fun little game.
Sorry, I had to step away for a second. It's the Abzu people, right?
The Abzu people, yep.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting.
And you can definitely see it. So it's Abzu mixed with Journey is really kind of what I feel it is.
Okay. You said it has no score.
There's no score for the regular base. Like you're just exploring and kind of doing tricks to get to these levels to open up the water in it. But then there's these score sections. So like you find these like little side rooms and they have half pipe set up, and all of a sudden it becomes like a weird Tony Hawk hybrid type thing where you activate the challenge and it's like you have 2 minutes to score 8,000 points. And there are trophies for getting like a 5-trick combo, a 10-trick combo, a 20-trick combo. But the only place I've seen that it keeps track of that is in these challenge rooms. So. Interesting. It's evidently really short, too. I think it's like 3 or 4 hours. So I'll probably finish it before we talk again next week.
And that is leaving Game Pass?
No, that is on PlayStation Plus. It's not on Xbox currently.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's only on PlayStation and Windows or PC.
Okay. You know, when you said no score, that reminded me of something I wanted to mention about Retro Realms Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes the game forgets that it's supposed to have music in the background.
Oh, that's not good.
Did that ever happen to you when you were playing it?
I don't remember.
It's just sound effects, like, you know.
That's terrible.
If you, I think it usually happens if you resume game. and it just forgets that there's supposed to be music there. It's like, it's so noticeable because, like, in a side scrolling game like that, like, to just have the sound effects, it's like off putting. Like, I don't know how to explain it. We're just like, this is weird. Like, we're missing part of the sound, you know.
Which you kind of want that MIDI music in the background.
It has to. Like, it does, otherwise, it feels lifeless or something. Like, it feels really weird.
Yeah, it's creepy and off.
Yeah.
One other thing. Tony, have you played any more Donkey Kong? Or have you played any Donkey Kong?
I played a little Donkey Kong.
Yep. How far again did you get?
I maybe played for an hour.
Okay.
The thing is, and this is going to sound awful, it made me like not feel well to play the game. Like something about the frame rate and the like. So I was playing it on my TV, like in docked mode, and like I literally felt like ill.
That's weird.
Yeah.
And unfortunate because. Like not being able to play the big Nintendo game because sick is awful.
And so I was enjoying like physically nauseous, like giving me a headache, like, and I stopped and I felt better. I was like, oh great, I can't play Donkey Kong. That's great.
Your kids liked it though, yes.
My kids think it's great. I mean, what I played, it seems a lot of fun. I just maybe I need to go back and see if it happens again, but it was very strange.
Turn off that motion smoothing.
I would be very surprised if Tony had motion smoothing on his television.
I would not.
Hey, wait.
So I think I'm 75% of the, you said there's what, 16 sublevels, Jeff? Like it goes down to 16 sublevel 1600.
16 or 18. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I'm only 2/3. I'm on sublevel 1202.
Bro, you are like savoring this like a fine wine.
Yeah. Well, now I think I've hit a point where it's like, so I was just kind of like, you know, playing along, getting bananas, and now I'm just like, I just want to go. So now I'm just doing like the main objective. Like
that's how I get pretty much in every game. Like at the beginning, I'm like, oh, I'm going to scour the whole level and get everything. I do that, like I'm doing that in Kirby already, right? I would say I'm going to get everything, and I'm like, yeah, as it goes on, it's just like, okay.
Yeah, I think I hit that point in Donkey Kong where I'm just like, I want to just kind of like, you know, if I'm close enough and there's a challenge room, maybe, but I'm not going to go look for those challenge rooms anymore.
Yeah.
The bananas, like the skills that you get from the bananas, I don't know. I like maxed out my health. I maxed out my strength. Like the other stuff just seems like extra. Like it's not necessary for you to fill that stuff out. I'm not finding it too hard without like some of that stuff. So yeah, I think I might just mainline it from here. There was a weird, I think it's level 1100 where it's this weird race with Diddy Kong and I can't remember the girl.
Dixie?
I want to say, yeah, I think that's it. I was going to say Daisy Kong, but that's not it. I don't know. It's just weird. Yeah, like Daisy. You're an elephant. Like, I didn't like that level at all. I thought that one was terrible.
There's a race where you play as Diddy Kong?
No, what you go. So you come down, I think it's like after the storm level. And you get to this sub-level, and you have to, you know, if you go to where the exclamation point is, it's Diddy and the girl. And they're like, hey, we're running, you know, we're running this race here. You should race us. And you have to beat them in a race on this elephant to get to the next level. It's like a 3-lap race. It's not fun. It's like this is bad, but now I'm in this like where I got the snake bonanza, and that one seems neat. Like you could freeze time, and you can finally double jump or charge jump and jump higher. So like, yeah, that stuff seems neat. So I've just done that. Now I'm on 1202. So I think I'll just be mainlining it from here. But yeah.
I guess I already forgot lots of the game.
Like, it's literally, it's snap and you're done. So it's three laps and that's it. That's the only thing to do on that sub level.
Well, you just, the other thing you said, I got the stick bananas. I was like, oh yeah, that was the thing. Like, you could transform. Like, this game I played a month ago.
You could do all the different transformations.
Dude, it's just, clearly I've been busy playing games. I've been in a gaming mood, and that's like back in that's almost ancient history at this point. Like,
I did come across a challenge room that was modeled after the arcade game, though, and I thought that was neat. Had like pink platforms, and
really?
Yeah, and like barrels were dropped down, and like you had to navigate up to the top to get the banana at the top. That one I thought was really cool. That's on the snake level too.
Maybe I forgot it or never saw it.
That would be weird for you to not see it because you don't have to do that room, but like you have to do something right before it, and then you have to walk through a door and like to progress to the next area. And when you walk through that door, there's a challenge room like right there. So it's like, all right, well, it's right here. Let me see what it was. And I went in, and it's like, oh, this one's pretty neat. So.
Well, I'm going to have a fun time when I replay that.
Yeah, because there's so much in it. It's like, you know, I did a ton in the front half, and I'm sure you did too. But
yeah,
there's so much stuff that I know I've missed.
Even in the front half, I know I missed.
Yeah. You know. So, yeah, Donkey Kong, good time. Hoping to finish that up shortly in the near future, and hopefully Tony can play it without getting sick. That would be nice.
I would love that. That'd be great.
Take some medication.
Tony has to take Dramamine to play Donkey Kong.
Take Dramamine and turn off that motion smoothing. It'll be all right.
Yeah. So we played a lot of games this week. Tony is out there still warring it up with all the Warhammer races. So, but you're gonna have basketball for us next week.
That's right. Absolutely.
All right. So we'll be back next week. Resident Evil, Twisted Metal on the table for us to talk about. Resident Evil to rank, and then Earl and I will have finished Twisted Metal's TV series by then, so that'll be on tap.
Resident Evil the movie, like the first
Resident Evil the movie from 2002. That's the one that Earl said is next on tap.
I might watch that. We'll see.
I did, and hey, it's a bad Resident Evil.
I've seen it. I remember it. Like watching it when it came out, and I was like, I don't know, like it's not good, but whatever.
Yeah, it's
you just never expected anything out of it. Like, that's why I just lost interest in video game movies, because like you expect nothing and you usually got nothing. And so
at least this one, I think if you weren't to call it Resident Evil, it would just be, you know, it would be a low rent sci-fi action horror film.
Yeah,
and that's fine.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel
Resident Evil at all.
Yeah, like, at least, you know, based off the first game. I do like her. I'm like, looked it up. I do love her little outfit, though.
Yeah, if you like that outfit. He ended up marrying her at some point.
Good job.
He likes to just run her around with the skimpiest of clothing on in his movies. So you'll get quite a lot to look at with Mila Jovovich.
I should do
Resident Evil.
I should do a whole series and drive my wife nuts. Just watch them all.
They're something.
We're currently doing Friday the 13th, like all of them.
Better choice than Resident Evil.
Yeah, but she has like looked at the screen maybe for 10 seconds out of the first three movies.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. These, you know, these kids are addicted to their phones now, including my wife.
Well, yeah. So Jeff, maybe sit her down and watch Resident Evil with her.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll work a lot better.
See what she has to say.
Like, see, we could be watching this shit. Respect Jason.
So, like, the thing is, you can get her. Maybe she like it's like, all right, this first one isn't terrible, but then if you watch the second one, Resident Evil Apocalypse, she might throw something at you. That one is absolute trash.
Are there? What did you think of that one that actually tried to be like Resident Evil recently? Like that was, it was, I don't think it was Paul Anderson, right? It was someone else.
No, it was somebody new. Was that Return to Raccoon City or something like that? It's not great. It's fine. It's better than about half of the Resident Evil, the other Resident Evil movies. So,
okay.
Welcome to Raccoon City.
That's in the middle of the pack.
Yeah. It's a middle of the pack movie.
The guy that directed, he directed a movie I really love, Strangers Pray at Night. He did the 47 Meters Down movies. Interesting.
He's fine.
And now we got, what's his name? I can't think of his name. The guy that's going to do the next Resident Evil.
He just did Weapons, right?
Yeah. Zach Kreger. Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
I'll give it this. Like I don't love what was his first film, the Barbarian.
Yeah.
It gets good. I didn't love it, but he at least does interesting shit. So
I'll say this: I rewatched Barbarian after it Weapons. Barbarian's pretty fun. It's a pretty fun movie.
It's fun. Yeah. It's like people are really going off about it, but.
Yeah, I oversold it, but yeah, it's pretty fun, and we discussed this, but I thought Weapons was amazing, so.
Yeah, Weapons is great, Barbarian, so like, he's done interesting things. He produced Companion, which I really liked this year.
I mean, he's definitely the most talented director that will be taking a crack at the series for sure. But
absolutely, yeah. So, I'm interested to see what he does with it, and we'll talk about that when he finally does. Probably in a couple of years. I think we're probably a little ways away, but
yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Resident Evil, Twisted Metal, NBA 2K26.
Yeah.
Fuck. Like, it's numbers are going up. NBA
2K.
Yeah. But we'll have those next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.